Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the cork. Hey, you getting drunk? So sorry, I've got you sussed. Hey, you smoking Mother Nature? This is a bust. Hey, hung up old Mr. Normal, don't try to gain my trust. 'Cause you ain't gonna follow me any of those ways, although you think you must.
Take it, never did and never will. We're not gonna take it, gonna break it, gonna shake it. Let's forget it, better still.
Pain in the Morning, 7/7/20, July 7/20. We're not gonna take it. Should just print that on my gravestone right now whenever I go. He wasn't going to take it. He didn't take it. He wasn't afraid to say, fuck you. Do something about it. Oh. I'll make music like this anymore, baby. Mm-mm, no way. Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why you're here. My name is Tommy. Tommy Payne. To brush away the fear, I guess, would be the one. Here we are. Shout out to everybody on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for the video podcast. We appreciate it. And that's the way to support us, as I've said before, directly, and we do appreciate the support. We got some interesting stuff coming up for you in the next 24, 48, 72 hours. We're not going to take it. That's my theme song. You know what? At the end of this broadcast, I think I'll play the whole song. Such a good song. You can't play it on the radio. It's too long. Yeah, we can't play this song. It's way too long. We can't fit any commercials. So we'll factor that in at the end of the show. I just had a good idea there. We will play it. July 7th. The summer is moving along fast. And first story, we'll jump right into it. And then there's going to be a big, big Wednesday podcast. Keep an eye on that out tomorrow, along with the Pain in the Morning. We'll do the big Wednesday podcast a little bit later in the day. I don't know what time we'll drop it. Who knows what time we're going to drop it. Got to adjust this mic. Apologize. But it will be, it could be very interesting. There's a lot of things at play. And I'll just keep it at that. I don't like to promise too much, and I don't like to reveal too much. This isn't some sideshow. If we got something, it's going to be coming at you for sure. First headline, you shot and killed a baby. 8-year-old girl died after she was shot while riding with a mother in Atlanta. So the music we got picked out for this is a terrible story. It's getting worse. 7-year-old gunned down in Chicago. These are African-American children being shot by other African-Americans. What? If Black Lives Matter, these people would clean up, these leaders would clean up their own city and cities. They don't, it's a damn tragedy. I mean, I've said it before, people who are not familiar with me, I grew up in communities like this. It's hard enough. trying to make ends meet, put food on the table, and God forbid you get sick or something, you have to go to the doctor, end up in a hospital with surgery, or your mom does or something like it. God forbid something like that happens, then what do? Then it's chaos, but people just trying to hold things together, and then you have little kids, you're trying to raise them, and they get gunned down in the street or shot in a car or gun. I mean, these are children, man. Come on. Somebody going to do something about this stuff? No, they don't. They don't. I don't get it. All the people that are marching around, the white people and the black people are marching around in the street, Black Lives Matter. Tell that to these parents of these kids that just got gunned down. I think they may argue with you. This is as bad as it gets. Children being shot and killed. This is crazy. What third world country are we in? We'll go back with the Devil Went Down to Georgia. We opened with this song Friday. It was the opener for the Pain of the Morning podcast. For some reason, that show did really well. I don't know what's going on. I can never tell what the hell's going on with little Charlie Daniels, who passed away today. Rest in peace, Mr. Daniels. I saw that he passed away. So we just played this song on Friday. This is insane. The devil did go down to Georgia and he shot an 8-year-old girl. And killed her. Fucking gutter snipes. Tough guy shoots a little kid. Go to prison, pal. We're going to have a little welcome party for your ass. Hell has broke loose in Georgia. An 8-year-old girl was shot and killed on the 4th of July after at least two people in a crowd of armed people opened fire on a car she was riding in near a flashpoint. Recent protests in Atlanta, authorities said Sunday. I don't get this. You're protesting some type of injustice, perceived injustice, and you shoot people from your own community? What am I missing? Police identified the girl as Sakuria Turner and Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who I've nicknamed Mayor Rock Bottoms, called for justice during an emotional news conference Sunday with the girl's grief-stricken mother. Yeah. Yeah, tell her Black Lives Matter. Try to sell that to her. Shooting happened near the Wendy's restaurant where the African-American man Ray Shard Brooks was killed by the Atlanta police officers. On June 12th, the fast food outlet was later burned to the ground, and the area has since become a site for frequent demonstrations against police brutality. Authorities said the mother had attempted to drive through illegally placed barricades in the area when the vehicle came under fire Saturday night. You shot and killed a baby, the mayor said, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And there wasn't just one shooter, there were at least two shooters. In a statement Sunday, police said the girl was in the car with her mother and a friend of the mother when they got off Interstate 75, 85 onto University Avenue. Were trying to enter a parking lot nearby. They ran into a group of armed individuals who had blocked the entrance. At some point, someone in the group opened fire on the vehicle, striking it multiple times and striking a child who was inside. The driver drove the girl to Atlanta Medical Center, but she did not survive. Devil went down to Georgia. There's a special place in hell for these fucking little vagrants who shot this little girl. Is there a reward out for these fucking varmints? Has anybody stepped up with a reward? How about that guy from Black Entertainment Television? He's always running his yap about reparations. What about reparations for this kid? What about reparations for this little girl and her family? Not a peep from this BET guy or anybody else. Just business as usual. She doesn't fit into the narrative because it's inner city violence on inner city residents. That doesn't fit the narrative of black versus white versus black, you know. So fuck the media too for underplaying this. Same with the media in Chicago, never really gives a shit about anything. Supposed to like these community leaders, where are they at now? There's no money to be made from this, so they're not going to come out against this. They're carpetbaggers. They come out when they smell money. They smell money whenever there's a national TV appeal. When the national networks roll in with the cameras, it's time to get all gussied up and fired up and get the crowd fired up. But when the little girl gets shot, nobody gives a crap. It's a damn crime, and it goes exactly to the narrative I said about community leaders in a lot of these communities don't care about the communities. They sell them out, just like the politicians sell us out every day in Washington. And they get paid to sell these people out and keep them down. And I live there and I know about it. Don't try to preach to me. Just because I'm a white guy. You ever been in poor communities? It's all white dudes. Predominantly white people. This isn't the way Hollywood portrays things and television portrays things, that every single person in the world who's poor is black. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. Just, it's insane that that's people's mentality. And it's not fair to African Americans as well. And again, more importantly, it has nothing to do with reality. But they may or may not matter to many people. Okay. New headline. Stanford doctor. COVID fatality rate for people under 45 is almost 0%. I'm no math major, but I know zero from... nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Right? Who do we have for that? Billy Preston? Billy Preston. Let me take a drink here. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me. This should be Fauci's theme song. Nothing from nothing leaves Fauci. A little fairy who's always pissing me off. Hey, these are the stuff, these are the stats that the CDC and Fauci won't let you know. I've never seen a pandemic where the fatality rate for any demographic is zero. That's not a pandemic, that's a scandemic. Stanford University's disease prevention chairman slammed using statewide lockdown measures as a response to the coronavirus, saying they were implemented based on bad data and inaccurate modeling. We've been saying that here for, what, 3 months now? I've been saying that for 3 motherfucking months, and no one listens to me. Actually, more people are listening, which is good. There are already more than 50 studies that have presented results on how many people in different countries and locations have developed antibodies to the virus. Dr. John Ioannidis said during a recent interview with a Greek reporter. Of course, not everybody knows Greek reporters. So, see, they won't put this guy on mainstream media, so he has to talk to people like Greek reporter, Third World Medical Journal, Amazon River Times. They won't put a guy like this on mainstream media. I'll try to look this guy up, but I know he's been busy. We've talked about him. We're pulling this from Greek reporter. It doesn't matter. He said it, so yeah, that's the important thing. Of course, none of these studies are perfect, but cumulatively, they provide useful composite evidence. A very crude estimate might suggest that 150 to 300 million or more people have already been infected around the world, far more than the 10 million documented cases. Boy, what would the, if 300 million people around the world are infected, what would the mortality rate be? 0.00002 or something like that? Ioannidis pointed out that the mortality rate is low among young people who have even contracted the virus. The death rate is given the country the death. Let's start over again. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing, especially when you're mumbling. The death rate in a given country depends a lot on the age structure, who are the people infected, and how they are managed, Ioannidis said. For people younger than 45, the infection fatality rate is almost 0%. 0%. Next time we'll play Less Than Zero by who sang that? The Fix? The fucking Fix is in. They should change their name to The Fix is in, and we'll play them every day dealing with the federal government. For people from 45 to 70, the infection fatality rate is probably about 0.05 to 0.3. For those above 70, it escalates substantially. So these are things we have previously known, but now they're narrowing down the 0 to 45 mortality rate, which is very low. 0% is fairly low. I don't know if any of you guys have struggled with math, but you don't need a calculator to figure that much out. Ioannidis questioned whether the rate of infection and mortality rate were worth shutting down the U.S. I'm getting upset. Getting gaseous when I read this. This is what happens when you get old. You start to get upset. Doesn't take much. The stomach starts flowing. You know how I can tell I'm getting upset? My head's getting hot. Even though I'm wearing a hat today. See me on camera, I look like, but my head starts to get hot and now I'm getting like some gas. I'm getting pissed off. This could be an interesting next, 30, 40 minutes as I begin to boil, because I understand exactly what I'm reading this. Again, I haven't read this. This is a fresh read. Exactly what he's saying, I'm getting pissed because I'm saying, why did they ruin the country for this? Why? And that's been my general question. No, by the way, no one's been able to answer it. Especially, well, I mean, we all have theories that make a lot of sense out here. Lay people, regular people, citizens, concerned citizens, and good citizens. People in D.C., including the White House, haven't been able to give a goddamn reason why they did this that makes any sense. But I think we can all figure out where this is going. Ioannidis questioned whether the rate of infection and mortality rate were worth shutting down the U.S. economy for months. Major consequences on the economy, society, and mental health have already occurred, he said. I hope they are reversible, and this depends to a large extent on whether we can avoid prolonging the draconian lockdowns and manage to deal with COVID-19 in a smart, precision, risk-targeted approach rather than blindly shutting down everything. What are they saying, like 300 people now or 250 people? Is it even that much a day nationally or dying? I don't even know. Is that right? I don't get it. We lose about 200 people a day, roughly, in that area from opioid overdose every day. 150, 170. Well, that was before this started. You're going to see those numbers spike. Let's call it 200 just for the hell of it. Did they shut the country down for that? That seems to be just as much of a quote-unquote epidemic. I'm not downplaying opioid overdoses and the problem. I'm downplaying COVID-19. It would seem that there is no vaccine or cure for opioid addiction other than trying to raise awareness and spread education and enhance benefits like interventions and things like that for folks who are addicted. That to me seems like a more of a national epidemic than this bullshit. They're calling this a global pandemic. Imagine if we really had a pandemic, people would be like, holy shit. It's like 60% of people getting wiped out. This is serious. This is not a pandemic. A pandemic, 99.8% of people don't survive a pandemic. God forbid we ever really have a pandemic, and then you'll see what a crock of bullshit this is, or was at that time. God forbid. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but this certainly is not a pandemic. This is what we call a scandemic, and all that. Although that sounds a cavalier and cheap, if the shoe fits, wear it. Oh boy, here she's back. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightweight, Lightfoot, blames gun and coronavirus for the city's spike in violence. Yeah. Yeah, what's the excuse for coronavirus the last 10 years? Is that what happened in Chicago? Maybe coronavirus was actually created 10 years ago in Chicago and everybody just started shooting each other. This broad is something else. We got a couple songs to choose for this idiot. Let's see, we got Brain Damage by Ginger Baker. That's fitting. That should be your theme song, Brain Damage. Mad World, Gary Jules and Michael Andrews. I like that song. And Insane in the Brain, Cypress Hill. A good song, but it's got the E next to it, explicit. And I think they dropped some bad words in there that I really don't know how this works. I have to check it out, I guess. If you're playing a song and they drop like a... the N-word or something. How does that work? I don't want to really go there, but I just wonder how it works. It's like people are so on edge with everything. And now if you play a song and they say something wrong, like throw you off. I don't know. So we'll probably stay away from Cypress Hill. But the songs are in the Thomas Paine podcast playlist. And you get those on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. In the subscriber area, we update that every day, the playlist, with the songs we may or may not play during the episode. I pick them on the fly, as you can see. We'll go with Mad World. We're talking about Mayor Lightweight. It really is a mad world. And this broad should be the mayor of Mad World. Or, you know, we'll make her the governor. Although she's running very competitive with a lot of other bird brains we're going to be talking about today. Chicago's mayor, Lori Lightweight, had an odd explanation for the gun violence gripping the city Sunday, suggesting the lax gun laws and coronavirus-related lockdowns were largely to blame for the spike in shootings. Listen to this, guys. Which has left at least 4 children dead and dozens of Chicago residents wounded. Do you understand what's going on here? These people, leaders, I'm talking about. These leaders, these people, these fucking... I like the word gutter snipes. That's what they are, okay? They've created massive problems in their cities. And instead of taking responsibility and calling this an epidemic on its own, this violent situation, inner city communities just feed on each other. Kill, stab, maim each other. They blame it on outside things that have nothing to do with this is a culture of violence. Instead, they do the worst thing you can do as a leader. They don't address it and they blame it on something else that has nothing to do with it, which means it will continue to fester, grow, and perpetuate. This is not going away. What happens? I don't understand. People that go into politics are not capable of telling the truth. Therefore, they're not capable of attacking these things honestly. and reforming things. It stems all the way from D.C. to Washington, to the FBI. Be talking about them today in the next couple days. It's never going to get fixed. These people are not capable of fixing it because they don't want to fix it. You know why? Themselves and all their friends make a lot of money from a broken system. They wouldn't make as much money. It's as simple as that. From a system that ran correctly. Would we have a better society? Sure. That's not what they care about. They care about enriching themselves and their friends. There's money in chaos. There's money in chaos. Speaking to the press, a lightweight said the violence problem is complicated. No, it's not. It's not complicated. It's not. It really isn't. They make it complicated so that they can pretend that the solution is out of reach. Like I said, in chaos, there is opportunity. Lightweight also suggested that the coronavirus shutdown that kept people inside for months played a role in creating a perfect storm, while also pinpointing out the death of George Floyd as an event that sparked anger in the community. That perfect storm is responsible for nearly record-breaking streak of violence in the city. As of late, 329 people have been killed in Chicago, an increase of about 34% from the 246 homicides during the same period last year, according to the police. Shootings in the period rose by about 42% from 978 in 2019 to 1,384 2020 so far. There have been only 5 days in July, but already this month, 84 people have been shot and wounded in the city, and 18 have been shot and killed. Again, I think including 4 kids. Young kids, 7-year-old was shot 4th of July. Trying to celebrate his 4th of July, she got gunned down at a drive-by. Can't even make this stuff up. In just the last 3 weeks, several children have been murdered by gun violence, one as a year old. I'm sure it's just from coronavirus, right, lightweight? Here's the problem. We talked about this yesterday. We've talked about it previously. Mayor Lightfoot blames this on coronavirus. What was she doing for several weeks instead of handling the situation or trying to curb the situation with police? She was staking out churches with police and spying on churches during Sunday services in African-American community, African-American churches, to see if people were social distancing during mass, during services. They were like banging on doors and one of the pastors locked the door and told them to get the hell out. This is in the middle of church and they're like trying to break it. They don't have a warrant. Who the fuck do these people think they're trying to break in a church? Meanwhile, people down the street are getting gunned down and killed. They're out there with cameras and blacked out, you know, cop cars. It's insane. The pastors, you ready for this? The pastors in Chicago, the African American, like the AME churches and such, they have a lookout. They were using a lookout, like a street corner lookout, to see if this bird brain mayor was showing up with the cops so that they would go into church and lock the doors. You know who else uses a lookout? Drug dealers. They were making these churches and pastors, African-American pastors, men of the cloth, operate like drug dealers just so you could go and exercise your freedom of religion, your First Amendment. Right. This is what this fucking dummy was doing instead of worrying about violence. This is what she was doing. And then now she's blaming on everything else. This is what I said. It'll never be fixed because they're not capable of fixing it. Mentally. What was the other song I was going to play? Brain Damage by Ginger Baker. She doesn't have it. And that's why she's put there. That's why she's elected. That's why she's put up. The people who make a lot of money don't want somebody that's going to go in. Remember Rahm Emanuel? He was going to go in and fix Chicago. No, he wasn't. He was going to make sure everybody made their money. Everybody got greased, you know? The Chicago machine got greased. Obama machine, Obama-Chicago machine, as people came out of the White House and trekked back to Chicago, back into the machine, make sure everybody got their millions. Then he would fade off into the sunset, maybe cover up a few more crimes. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. So, where are we off to now? COVID-19 is close to losing its epidemic status in the U.S. Oh, okay. We'll see if that's true. According to the CDC, who changes its tune every day. That's okay. We'll play a little Ray Charles. And we'll say, hit the road, Jack. The stupid COVID-19 scheme.
What you say?
Tell you what I say. Coronavirus deaths in the country have nearly reached a level where the virus will cease to qualify as an epidemic under the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention rules. CDC qualifies a disease outbreak as an epidemic if the number of deaths attributable to the disease exceeds a certain percentage of total deaths per week. That threshold for pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19 fluctuates slightly depending on the time of year, ranging from around 7% at the height of flu season to around 5% during less busy months. CDC data indicates the deaths from those ailments began skyrocketing in the country around the second week of March, hitting a peak around early May and then plummeting quickly after that. The latest data show that the percentage of deaths in the country attributable to those factors had, as of last week in June, reached its lowest point since the end of last year, becoming equal to the current epidemic threshold of 5.9%. What does all that mean? It means, the agency notes, that the official tally of deaths will likely change as more death certificates are processed, particularly for recent weeks. Yet the number of deaths attributable to COVID-19, pneumonia, influenza have been declining for 10 straight weeks. Well, wait a minute. I thought they were increasing. The media says that these things are increasing. Now the CDC says they're declining. What is going on here? Intensive care units are slammed. They're slammed, repeats and reports the fear-mongering mainstream media. Yeah, they're slammed because people who were afraid to go to the hospital for serious ailments, while the media and Washington, D.C. politicians and little lying ferrets like Fauci were driving the fear mobile, they kept those people out of the hospital and they continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker. Those ICU units are not filled with people who legitimately have COVID, whether they're listed as that or not. They have serious things that they let fester while they were locked in their house. Who in their right mind want to go to a goddamn hospital if you have a serious problem? I would think I go in that hospital for like chest pains or whatever. Lung problem, kidney problem. Next thing you know, they're going to slap one of those damn breathing machines on me, and that's the end of me. That's it. And rightly so. That's a smart way to think, because that's what was happening. That's what was happening. And that's why the ICUs are crowded. We already reported on that yesterday and previous days. CDC said on its website and suggested COVID-19 may cease to qualify as an epidemic in the next few weeks. Yeah, I'm sure. But see, here's the thing. They could change tomorrow and it could be a big problem. These guys, it's unbelievable. So it's like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's encouraging. And then tomorrow Fauci will come out. You're all going to die again. We need 15 more days. Of course, 15 days in government math is really 180 days. I just wonder if, I won't say, they'll throw me off of here. We'll have to do some kind of an event, you know, like a speaking event where I can really hammer these people and say what I think. But you can't really, anybody who's stupid enough to think that there's freedom of the press and free speech in this country is wrong. You can take it to a certain limit, as I've been coached in this new role as a broadcaster. You can take it to a certain limit, but you can't cross a line. I think it's more fun when you cross the line. That's when a real conversation starts. But we got to keep it, in my book, G-rated, so to speak, even though we're not G-rated. We're probably R-rated compared to a lot of these fucking pipsqueaks and soy lattes. But you can read between the you can read between the lines if you're smart. If you're stupid, you're not listening to me anyhow, so I know you're smart. Stupid people don't get me. Like, I don't understand it. He never gets to the point. Everything I say has a fucking point. If you can't get it, I don't know what to tell you. That's what the network TV and Fox is for. Go watch those dummies. You can sit there like a mindless fool and be told how to think. Okay, survey. 8 in 10 police officers would not recommend becoming a cop. Let's play a little police. Maybe these cops have a message in the bottle for the incoming rookies. About 8 in 10 police officers of about 10,000 surveyed this week said they would not recommend becoming an officer to their son or daughter. Yikes. Survey conducted and published by Caliber Press. Police One finds that the overwhelming majority, more than 80% of police officers, said they would not encourage a loved one to become an officer. Just 7.5% of police officers said they would recommend the job. Of those who said they would not recommend becoming an officer, 88% said they were concerned over a lack of support from their department. Another 83% cited an overall lack of respect for the profession as the reason they would not recommend joining law enforcement. About 63% of police officers who said they would not recommend becoming a police officer said there is an increased legal liability, while 63% said the duties of the job have changed for the worse. Nearly 6 in 10 police officers, that's 60% for the mathematically challenged, who would not recommend the job said they are worried about an increased safety risk against officers. You read this on our website, True Pundit, you'll see there's a chart, a pie chart. Some people like pie charts, easy to read. Some people like Attorney General, just like pie. Less than 4 in 10 police officers, that's 40%, said they would absolutely enter law enforcement if they had to do it again. More than 35% said they would not enter the profession again, and 26% were unsure. About half of the 10,000 police officers surveyed said they were satisfied with the job, but not as much as they once were. More than 21% said they had little or no satisfaction with being a police officer today. Guys, you don't want pissed off police out on the street pulling your ass over and questioning you. You think you had problems before? Oh, man. I had a conversation today as a sidebar, but it's probably breaking news. Nobody probably has reported on this Maybe we'll do a story on it. I don't know, because it just popped in my head. Had an hour conversation with one of the premier involved with the FBI, involved with the Homeland Security, supplies and trains police dogs for these places and state police all over the place and local police departments, thousands through the years. Bringing dogs, mostly male German Shepherds, but there are some other dogs that make great police dogs. Training them in police work, also arson work for fire departments, okay? Learning how to sniff certain things out with senses and things like that. Told me today that the canines, police work, federal and state and local, think of the past. With the way things are now with liability, police dogs will go by the wayside. That is the word on the street with the people involved in the industry, that it's getting too crazy, that handlers and departments would be afraid to let dogs loose on certain scenes because it's like sometimes it gets a little ugly when the dogs come out. And that's a damn shame if it's true, because the canine edge, so to speak, has really been a bonus to law enforcement. So if that does go by the wayside, not only will it affect a lot of people's lives who are have a livelihood from this, but I think it'll also be another kick in the teeth of law enforcement. So that's the word on the street. You're going to see a definite decline and maybe a complete phasing out of canine police officers. And that's a shame. Dogs are so smart. They can do a lot more than humans can do. Obviously, that's why they're used. And let's see how that plays out. Let's hope that it's not the way it is. But I have to tell you, based on the sourcing, it probably is the way it is. that's bad news, but this is really bad news. Okay, this is actually crazy news from Crazy Eyes out in Michigan. If you're living in Michigan and you're entertaining what I'm about to read to you, you got some problems. And that goes for anybody across the country who may sign up for this insanity when it comes to your state. And it's going to probably come to your state because these people are all fucked up, these politicians. What song do we have picked out for this? Oh, yeah. Little Pink Floyd. I'm going to grab a little drink here. Pardon me. Headline. Michigan passes controversial bill to microchip human beings voluntarily, quote, to protect their privacy, unquote. This is insane. The Michigan House of Representatives has passed a controversial bill to microchip humans voluntarily in the state under the guise of protecting their privacy. The Microchip Protection Act would allow Michigan employers to use microchipping of their workers with their consent. However, research has definitely shown that RFID transponders causes cancer. What kind of an employer would want to microchip their employee? If if you're working for a company and they say, okay, fill out this W-9 and okay, pick out your benefits and report down to the depot for your microchipping. Probably a good idea to get in your wood-paneled station wagon and drive the hell home. Seriously, this is insane. The plan to microchip humans is sponsored by a Representative Brona Kale, or Kali. Somebody ought to microchip her parents to pick a better name. Under the guise of protecting the privacy of workers, the stated objective of the bill is that it will protect the privacy rights of Michigan workers and promote further growth for job providers as it relates to microchipping, a cutting-edge technology on the rise that increases workplace efficiency. Does it really? Are there any studies? There's probably two microchipped people in the fucking United States. One of them is Al Gore. So whatever studies you have on the workplace efficiency of microchipped employees, hopefully it was conducted when Al Gore had his pants on. Microchipping has been brought up in many conversations as companies across the country are exploring cost-effective ways to increase workplace efficiency. While these miniature devices are on the rise, so are calls of workers to have their privacy protected. This is what Representative Brona Kali, a Republican who sponsored the bill. Yeah, she sounds like a Republican. She's actually a Democrat, but someone put a Republican microchip in her brain. It's right next to her acorn-sized brain. So she's really a Democrat, but she's programmed her circuit board. She's programmed a Republican. Okay, that makes sense. So she's been microchipped as GOP, but she's really a Democrat. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Radio frequency identification tags, commonly referred to as microchips, are beginning to seep into the marketplace as new technological devices to help streamline everyday business practices. Really? Where? Are we just cargo now? I've said that for a while. When you're born in this country as an American, you're just a piece of cargo. You get your social security number, you move around, keep track of your cargo. That's like your tracking number, so they know how much money the cargo owes as it moves through its life. Cargo owes this much in taxes now. Cargo's got a better job. Cargo pays more taxes. Let's use that tracking number to see how much money cargo has in the bank, how much money cargo is being paid. Cargo owes us more taxes. Wow, this cargo has really done better than other pieces of cargo in his shipment and his family. This cargo is really doing well. The chips, roughly the size of a grain of rice, are implanted into the hands of employees and act as a replacement for ID badges, time cards, usernames, and passwords, for security clearance, and even credit cards. It's important to pay somebody $8 an hour when they're hired and then have them undergo a several thousand-dollar procedure to put a grain of rice in their hand to help them. It helps them more than anything. They don't have to worry about carrying around a plastic card. It's so burdensome to carry around a card. I'd rather put something in your body. You know what I mean? This is insane. People are actually doing this voluntarily. This Pink Floyd song, who would have known that it's become a national anthem now for idiots? Welcome to the machine. A research has shown the RFID transponders cause cancer. Research has suggested 90% of Americans are uncomfortable with microchipping, mostly due to studies that suggest a link between RFID transponders and cancer in lab animals. Are they talking about us as lab animals? Because that's pretty much what we've become. We're all lab animals in the world of Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and Robert Redfield and Deborah Birx. In May, the plan to chip humans globally through the digital ID was exposed in the Italian parliament. Sara Cuneo, the member of the parliament for Rome, denounced Bill Gates as a vaccine criminal and urged the Italian president to hand him over to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. I think this is this is Sara Cuneo driving to pick up Bill Gates. She also exposed Bill Gates' agenda in India and Africa, along with the plans to chip the human race through the digital identification program ID 2020. Why does Gates always show up? I just mentioned Gates, and then boom, he's in the story. Gates is an arch fucking criminal. This member of Italian Parliament is 100% correct. This is insane. Now you can get microchipped. I'll tell you what. That's not going to happen in my house. If anybody's microchipping my kids, it's going to be me. Find out what the hell they're up to. It's not going to be anybody else. I'll tell you that right now. Speaking of Italians and Rome and Roma, this is a mafia-related story. Sad headline. Sad. Grassley predicts the Durham probe will not lead to prosecutions till after the election. Oh, who said that? Who said that? Months ago, a year ago, I said that. Nothing was going to happen. After the election, that's a little presumptuous, isn't it? Things might not happen in the election that Grassley wants happened in the election. Maybe that's the whole point, to get these guys off the hook. Or whatever the case may be, I have to tell you, he's on the money here. It is July. I think I said this in maybe August, September last year. Maybe before that nothing was going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, guys, the clock is ticking. Tick-tock. There's a statute of limitations. Not a statue of limitations. If there was a statue of limitations, these street urchins would have already ripped it down. There's a statute of limitations on federal crimes. 5 years. Do the math. 2016 election plus five. 2021. A lot of this started in 2015, plus five, 2020. Once you pass that 5 years, you can't be charged. When I said previously, bars running out the clock, do the math. You don't need a slide rule. Five plus five is 2015 plus five is 2020. 2016 plus five is 2021. Where are we headed to? 2021. Numbers don't lie. They've already run out the clock on a number of these things that started in spring of 2015 and maybe before. The people who are responsible can't be charged with that. It's now July 2020. So anything before July 2015, they get out of jail free card. See how this works? And the clock is ticking. What was that soap opera? They flipped over the hourglass. Days of Our Lives. Sands of Time, Days of Our Lives. The sand's falling down, and it's getting lower and lower on the top and bigger on the bottom. So this is what they call running out the clock. They did it. Sessions did it for Hillary with an assist, previous assist from Holder and Lynch. And then Sessions took over and ran out the clock. And people still talking about, Hillary is going to be, she's going to stand trial for her emails. No, she's not. No, she's not. It's over. Statute is gone. There's nothing to charge you with. And don't say, please don't say espionage or treason. That is insane. I don't even know when the federal government last charged somebody with treason, but I don't think it went well. They're certainly not going to charge. They can't charge Hillary with jaywalking. How are they going to charge her with treason? I mean, they could, but they're not going to. So just like say, that's the first response people come back with. And I just, it's like, please, please stop. I don't know who tells you this stuff, but they are fucking dummies and liars. The only guy that's been telling you straight skinny on this stuff is me. Told you nothing was going to happen. And that's where we're headed. Just like we did in July 2016, we're the first news organization to tell you that Hillary would not be charged before the election 2016 with anything. And guess what happened? Oh, she wasn't charged. Guess who's telling us nothing's going to happen? The same people who told us that in 2016 inside. I think they know what the fuck they're talking about. This is Grassley. They put Grassley out to kind of, you know, poo-poo. Grassley's the old guy that comes down and shuts down the house party. He was upstairs and you thought he was asleep and he got up. He came down in his bathrobe right now and he's... He flicked the lights a couple times. People are like, hey, what the hell's going on here? And he's coming downstairs. He's in his slippers, in his bathrobe. He might have his pipe. And his rolled up newspaper. And he's telling people that your little party's over. He's dropping a bomb on you, so to speak. It's a trial balloon. Let's play something. Since we're talking about one of the greatest mafias in the history of the world, the Department of Justice, will play a little Pavarotti, a solo meal. Senator Chuck Grassley says he believes an investigation into the origins of the Russia probe will not lead to indictments until long after the November election. What a mafia. In a tweet on Monday, Grassley said, Barr recently said this is the closest we have ever come to an organized effort to push a president out of office. That leads me to think Durham won't report any prosecutions till after the election so as to not influence the vote. Sad, sad. Again, I said this. This was fucking an easy call. Easy call. If no prosecutions till after elections, sad, sad. Just think. Flynn, Mueller, impeachment. The deep state is so deep that people get away with political crimes. Durham should be producing some fruit of his labor, Grassley added. In a June interview, Attorney General William Barr said that he expected developments in the probe sometime in the summer. In terms of the future of Durham's investigation, you know he's pressing ahead as hard as he can, Barr said in an interview on Fox News Sunday Morning Futures. Barr goes on Sunday Fox. It's like all prearranged. All the questions are prearranged. He won't appear anywhere where he, the questions aren't pre-screened and things like that. So it's like he goes on there and they throw him softballs and he acts tough. And he gets headlines for 2 days and everybody thinks something's going to happen. And I sit back here and laugh. You ever see the outlaw Josie Wales? There's a couple scenes there where he's crossing the river and they're on like a rope. Like a rope. a barge across the river. And there's an old lady who runs the general store. Granny. I sit back like Granny in a rocking chair. She has her pipe and she just laughs at bullshit. Whenever somebody says something like totally bullshit, Granny gives a nice laugh. That's me. Whenever Barr talks about atrocities that are going to be. Hey, prove me wrong, man. I would love to be wrong. I haven't been so far. I said, 10 days ago in a podcast, two big Wednesday podcasts ago that Maxwell wouldn't be charged with anything heavy. No sexual assault, no rape, no child trafficking. And that's what happened. Nothing. Eventually people will listen to me. I guess it doesn't really matter if they do. That's not why I do this. It's not a contest of being right. It's just telling people what's right and what the truth is. Trying to give them some insights, not getting it anywhere else. So that means all the bullshit they sold you on Fox. Oh, somebody's going to jail. We got it. It's finally happening. Bullshit. In the June interview, we talked about that. In the June interview, Barr continued, I expect that, you know, we will have some developments, hopefully, before the end of summer. The guy's talking like he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's Attorney General of the United States. He knows exactly what's going on. Makes it seem like somebody asked him who's going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. We should know in a few months. I don't know. This is stupid. It's asking me these questions. While the investigation expected to continue past the November election, Barr admitted that what happens after the election may depend on who wins. Wow, you think so? You fucking think so, Barr? What a genius. Let me tell you what happens. Let me see. Are we done with this story? Let me tell you what happens after the election. Barr is gone one way or the other. Whether Trump wins or he doesn't win, Barr is out. You know why? From the guys we know inside. I want you to remember what I said here. Because, and he may not leave right away. He might leave in February or March. You know why? Because he ran out the clock. The five-year clock, the statute. He ran the statute out on all of his buddies in the FBI and DOJ. He protected them. He can leave. Barr can leave if Trump wins again, re-election. He can leave and ride off into the sunset. That he protected these people, that's what he was there for. Okay? If Trump loses, well, Barr's gone anyhow. And then these people were definitely protected. And Barr did his job getting to the election without charging any of these people. Now, that may be counter to what Trump wants. Okay? I think Trump is getting played by this guy. Again, I've said that for a long time. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. But if you think, if you actually think that after the election that these guys are going to jail, you may want to think again. Right? The game here has been to get to the election. Okay? Pass the election, one way or the other. And protect these guys that run out the clock. That's the game in my book from what we've been told and from what I've reported a number of times on a number of different people. That's the game. It is a game too. Because the players, Strzok, Page, Baker, Comey, McCabe, Priestep, they've all taken jobs at other places. And they're laughing. Some of the jobs are in the media. And they're laughing. Whenever somebody says you're going to jail, they sit back and they laugh. They're like Granny I was talking about, okay, and Josie Wales, like me. I sit in the rocking chair, I just laugh at this stuff. You need to get to the point where you are able to do the same, although it's not a laughing matter. If you don't laugh at some of this stuff and understand that it's a game, it will drive you insane because it makes no sense. It defies logic at every turn and it's maddening. So, oh, I said I was going to play The Who at the end. Cool, we'll do that. Shout out again to folks on Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. We do the video podcast. Patreon.com/TruePundit. Same content, video podcast and subscriber-only content. Tonight we got the More Paying Show coming. Probably be breaking news on there. I got a lot of stuff cooking. And as I said, it's a unique look at everything and we talk about on here. You're not getting this anywhere else. I know you're not getting it anywhere else because we monitor what other guys are doing, what they're saying. And they're not saying any of this stuff. So we're happy to give you something different that always seems to work out. We're right. Because it's true. You don't have to worry about the truth. You just tell it and you move on to the next truth. And you don't have to look over your shoulder and say, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Why? If it's true, it's true. So we appreciate it. We're not supported by millionaires and billionaires. like I would say 99% of everybody in the media on both sides. It's really a testament to folks, to readers, to listeners that we've gotten this far. It's really, I mean, I'm thankful. I thank God every day. It really is incredible. And on that note, take care and God bless.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the cork. Hey, you getting drunk? So sorry, I've got you sussed. Hey, you smoking Mother Nature? This is a bust. Hey, hung up old Mr. Normal, don't try to gain my trust. 'Cause you ain't gonna follow me any of those ways, although you think you must. Take it, never did and never will. We're not gonna take it, gonna break it, gonna shake it, let's forget it, better still. Now you can hear me, your ears are truly sealed. Can't speak either, your mouth is filled. You can't see nothing, and pinball completes the scene. Here comes Uncle Ernie to guide you to your very own machine. We're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it. Never did and never will. Don't want no religion, and as far as we can tell, we ain't gonna take you. Never did and never will. We're not gonna take you. We forsake you, gonna rape you, let's forget you better still. We forsake you, gonna rape you, let's forget you better.
listening to you. I get the music gazing at you. I get the heat following you. I climb the mountain. I get excitement at your feet. Right behind you, I see the millions on you. I see the glory from you. I get opinions from you. I get the story. Listening to you, I get the music. Gazing at you, I get the heat. Following you, I climb the mountain. I get excitement at your feet. Right behind you, I see the millions on you. See the glory from you. I get opinions from you. I get the story. Listening to you.